Let us pray. Oh God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things, both in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all hurtful things, and give us those things that are profitable for us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Roger Webb shares a story about a newspaper photographer out in L.A. who was called in by his editor and told of a fire raging in a hilly area south of the city. His assignment was to rush down to the small airport, board a waiting plane, get some pictures of the fire, and then be back in time for the afternoon edition. Breathlessly, he raced to the airport and drove his car to the end of the runway. And sure enough, there was a plane waiting for him with all the engines revved up and ready to go. He got on board, and at about 5,000 feet, he began getting his camera out of the bag. And he told the pilot flying the plane to get him over the fire so he could take his pictures and then get back to the paper. From the other side of the cockpit, there was a deafening silence. Then he heard these unsettling words. Aren't you the instructor? My brothers and sisters, as adopted children in the wilderness of this life, we hope for another world. And that's because, like the photographer in the opening story, this life is full of challenging situations, trials, obstacles, and temptations. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And indeed, we do experience pain and suffering in this life, not just because we live in a fallen world, but because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we endure in hope. We groan in hope for the life of the world to come. Amen? And not just us, but as we shall see today, Paul says that all of creation groans for new creation too, for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed at the last day. And what's even more amazing is that the Spirit of the living God groans on our behalf as believers in prayer to the Father. That is amazing. And with all of this groaning that's going on, Paul is giving us the imagery of labor pains. These pains do not last forever. They have an end result. In our world, we know that the end result of labor is the birth of a baby. The groanings of Romans 8, by creation, by believers, that is you and me, and by the Holy Spirit, testify to the hope of the future glory that awaits us on our gotcha day. That happy day, that glorious day when we receive our inheritance as sons and daughters of the living God. In the meantime, as we trek through the wilderness of this life toward our promised land to come at new creation, there are groanings. But one day the groanings will cease, and humanity and all creation will be in a glorified state. This morning, let us look at the three groanings of creation, believers, and the Spirit. And let us eagerly hope afresh for that day when the labor pains are no more. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Romans chapter 8, verse 18, found on page 679 in your pew Bibles. The first groaning that we come to in our passage today is the groaning of creation. Now that creation groans, that itself is personified in our passage, is nothing crazy, nor is it out of the blue. This personification of creation frequently occurred throughout the Old Testament. But Paul presents creation being frustrated. That is, it is in a state of emptiness. Paul writes in 8:20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. You see, the world was cursed in Genesis 3, 17 through 19. What once was is no more because of sin and death. So creation exists in futility, yet also in hope. In hope. Joseph A. Fitzmyer comments that Paul's usage of hope in 8:20 means that creation will be freed by its association with the destiny of justified Christians. So creation itself will be rescued from this empty, futile state when God's children are also glorified on the last day. In other words, creation groans in hope for the future glory. You know, much of what we see and experience now in the created order is beautiful. Indeed, incredibly beautiful. I have seen some gorgeous places throughout this world. Israel, the Caribbean, the Rockies, Greece and the Aegean Sea, and many others. And I'm sure you've seen some phenomenal places as well. Yet, though each of us undoubtedly has seen the majesty and the glory of God, his handiwork in creation, it still is in a state of decay and death. New life and growth then is followed by decline, decay, and death. Spring leads to summer, which leads to fall, which leads to winter. This pattern, this cycle, is evidence of judgment, of the curse. So creation groans, but it groans in hope for the future glory to come. It groans for our gotcha day, the last day where the adopted sons and daughters of God take their inheritance as co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, creation's hope is tied up and connected to the hope of believers, of you and me. For the glory of creation has been lost. Paul writes, it is in a futile state, but even in this state, it hopes for the future glory to come. Hence the imagery of the labor pains. Paul writes in 8:22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. You see, creation yearns for the restoration to come. The groanings of labor point beyond themselves to the hope of a new heaven and a new earth. Think about it this way. When a woman is in labor, the groans she has are because she's giving birth to a child. But when that baby is born, she is satisfied with joy, wonder, and love. She no longer thinks about the pains of birth. The groanings lasted for a time, but they ended with gratification, fulfillment, and contentment. Bishop N.T. Wright elaborates on this when he writes, "The whole creation is on tiptoe with excitement, waiting for God's children to be revealed who they really are. Creation is longing for the time when God's people will be revealed as God's glorious human agents set in authority over the world. Therefore, the groans of labor are followed by the joys of new creation." So this is the first of the three groanings. All creation longs for the day when the labor pains are no more. The second groaning we come across in our passage this morning is the groaning of believers. This groaning is only for individual believers, not for unbelievers who do not have the Holy Spirit within them. You see, it is the very reality that believers possess the Holy Spirit, which allows them to groan for what is not yet. Our groanings mean that we hope and we persevere to the finish line because we have great things to look forward to ahead of us, even if it takes a good long while. D. Greg Ebby shares a strip from the well-loved Peanuts cartoon. The Lucy and Linus were in front of the TV when Lucy said to Linus, "Go and get me a glass of water." Looking surprised, Linus asked, "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." Lucy promised, "On your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." And at that, Linus got up and headed to the kitchen and said, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." My friends, Paul is reminding us precisely of that. We have a great inheritance coming our way. How do we know this is on our way to us? How do we know? How are we sure of it? Because we have what Robert Mounts calls the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. And this is different from what we see in the Old Testament with the festival of the first fruits. There the Israelites would present their first fruits as an offering to the Lord. It was usually either an animal sacrifice or a fraction of the harvest. But get this. Here in 8:23, Paul is writing about the Lord giving first fruits to us as believers. You see, the Spirit is a down deposit assuring believers of their future inheritance. So if the Spirit is the first fruits, this implies that there are later fruits. Amen? Therefore, believers groan as we await our gotcha day. We eagerly await the future glory to come, which is life forever in a new heaven and a new earth where we have new resurrection bodies and where we will reign and where we will rule with the Lord Jesus forever. So we groan because stage two of our adoption is yet to come. This is why we long for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. For we have experienced already in this life the new Exodus by our union with Messiah Jesus. We are already adopted children in the wilderness of this life, but we have not yet entered into our promised land, which is new creation. Paul writes, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Patience. And part of our inheritance for which we hope is our glorious resurrection bodies. Bishop Wright notes, "We ourselves have come out of Egypt, but our body, which still needs to have its deeds put to death, is still awaiting redemption from the slave market. The body intended to be glorious, splendid, fashioned after the model of Jesus' own resurrection body, no longer subject to weakness, humiliation, sickness, sin, and death." So we as believers groan for our resurrection bodies to come. And the older I get, the more I groan. Bodies that are incorruptible, we groan for. Bodies that can do new things, things that Jesus' resurrection body did in the gospel accounts. The point is this, my friends. We will need new bodies for a new creation. Say that with me. We will need new bodies for a new creation. These old bodies simply will not do. Therefore, we have been saved in hope of this great promise. Creation groans in hope. Believers groan in hope as well. And Paul reminds us to wait patiently and confidently. Hence, even believers experience the labor pains and the groanings for the consummation of the new creation to come. We wait for our gotcha day with eagerness, with great longing and expectation. And where does this come from? Where does it come from? It comes from faith, my brothers and sisters. Faith allows us to continue trekking through the wilderness of this life. Faith allows us to groan in hope for the promises of God. And creation's faith is linked and dependent upon the renewal of Christians and the new creation to come, when the labor pains are no more. The third and final groaning of our text this morning is the groaning of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." You see, the Spirit comes to our aid in prayer. And my friends, we most certainly need the help. David Debordé shares a story about a father who was walking past his 5-year-old daughter's room one night, and he proudly noticed that she was on her knees in prayer. And listening in, he heard this curious prayer: A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z, several times. When she was finished, he asked her what it all meant, and she responded, "God is really, really smart. When I don't know what to pray about, I just say the alphabet and he figures out the rest for me." Now, the Lord is indeed smart, my friends. He is all-knowing. He knows what we need before we even ask it. But we don't just pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid and groans on our behalf. Amen? You don't seem happy about that. Amen? Trust me, this is a bigger deal than you think it is. This means we have the weakness of ignorance regarding the future glory to come, because we cannot see for what we hope for. But the Spirit can look forward. The Spirit can see. And that is why, as believers, we rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. For as Joseph A. Fitzmyer comments, the Spirit enables Christians by his assistance to formulate the proper prayer of hope. Of hope. What a comforter, my brothers and sisters. And here we have to stop for a second and just ponder the wondrous love of God for us. Because right now, at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for me and you as our great high priest. And the older I get, this encourages me daily in my daily walk with Jesus Christ, that he's praying for me. But we also have the Spirit of the living God within us interceding. And his intercessions are depicted as groanings. F.F. Bruce states, these inarticulate groans cannot be dissociated from the groaning of verse 23, with which believers, together with creation, long for the coming resurrection glory, which will consummate the answer to all their prayers. But the Spirit, unlike believers and creation, is not in a state of decay. The Spirit is not in a state of decay. Creation and believers are. The Spirit is not. And John Stott put it this way, the Spirit identifies with our groans, with the pain of the world and the church, and shares in the longing for the final freedom of both. And our Heavenly Father understands the groans of the Holy Spirit. You see, there is a direct dialogue between the Father and the Spirit regarding the hearts of the believers, and the Father does indeed search your own heart. In 8:27, Paul depicts the Spirit interceding for you and me, for us in the wilderness of this life. And he knows what to pray for, even when you and I do not. And that is a great encouragement to all of us. For the Spirit prays for us according to the will of God. We have come to do his will and not our own. And God's will most certainly entails our future glory when the labor pains are no more. But as we bridge this passage with our own day, we are forced once again to groan that we are not already in the new creation, that we're not already in the life of the world to come. Alas, the labor pains continue. Stage two of our adoption, of our gotcha day, where we inherit the promised land of new creation, is still not yet. But the imagery of childbirth is not so that we can fret in dismay, but rather so that we can persevere in hope. In hope, the labor pains are only temporary. The end result of new creation is forever, world without end. You see, Romans 8 stresses the importance of our inheritance, the new creation, of the place that we are heading towards, which is the future glory. No longer will there be decay and death like we know in the present. The future for which we groan will be all glory and all life. Thanks be to God. But the challenge is that we are between two worlds, one that is full of death, the other that is full of life. So do not be discouraged, my brothers and sisters. Hold on to your hope. Groan, yet groan in hope. Say that with me. Groan, yet groan in hope. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, firstly, we must focus on the progression of the biblical drama to the consummation ahead, to the marriage of heaven and earth, all the way to the New Jerusalem. For to have hope and encouragement in the present implies faith, not only in the promises of our Lord, but in his very character. He is faithful and he is true all the way. And believers hope and they can take encouragement now because the one who is faithful and true has promised to make all things new. And that includes you. It is hard to hold on to hope if you and I do not know the promises of God and the biblical story that he has given us in the Holy Scriptures. So we must focus on where the great drama of Scripture is heading, which is to new creation. And again, the reason why I preach the way I do is not because I think I'm a fantastic preacher. I want people to get into the Word of God. I have other styles of preaching that I never share with you. But the reason that I ask you to open your Bibles is because I am pushing back against the spiritual slothfulness of the American church, which just consumes and consumes and consumes, rather than opening up the Word of God and reading for yourself. Spiritual slothfulness. Is that you? Is it? It's been me. We have to know the biblical story. We have to know the drama of Scripture and where God is leading us to. Secondly, we must live in great expectation, my brothers and sisters. When a woman is pregnant, what do we say? We say she is expecting. This is similar to the state of the believer who expects and longs for new creation. You see, the imagery of labor reminds you and I that a transition is coming our way. Life now may be filled with pain, even sorrow and suffering, but it will not last forever. So we must live patiently in great hope and great expectation of what we are to inherit, including receiving the resurrection bodies that were promised to us. And if you ever find yourself to be revived in hope, to have your expectations restored, I recommend you read 1 Corinthians 15 and the end of Revelation, and your hope will be renewed. For you will once more groan for that gotcha day that is coming, that great day when the labor pains are no more. John Putty shares an illustration that Billy Graham used to tell. A preacher one day passed a shop which was no longer open for business, and a sign hung in the window that said, "Closed for alterations." The owner had closed the shop for a while in order to remodel the store. And after a period of time, he reopened the business with many changes and improvements. This, Billy Graham says, is a picture of the death of the believer. He moves out of his body, then at the resurrection, the inward man will be moved into his glorified body. My brothers and sisters, the groans will one day cease altogether. You and I will receive our inheritance. We will receive new bodies like our Lord Jesus, and we will reign and rule with him in a new heaven and a new earth, world without end, forever. And as we groan now in the desert wilderness of this life, know the biblical story and the telos of human history, where God is leading us. Don't buy into the spirit of this age, which is spiritual slothfulness, but long for the marriage of heaven and earth and live expectantly in hope for our gotcha day when the labor pains are no more. Let us pray. Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants, who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming, in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.